I need to say thanks to all of you. I tell you, you're an amazing group of people. Pastor the other day, Brother Rocky, complimented you as a church. Never seen a church quite like this before. And I think that's a blessing. You take care of things very well. You do things together. So I thank you. Thank you, Teddy and Bill and our staff, Richard, for watching over things while we were away. It's a blessing. 10 years ago, yesterday, a man that influenced my life went on to be with the Lord, and it's a special day to me just to be able to stand here and share God's word. And I know you've had people that influenced your life, good or bad, you've had people influence your life. And we need to seize every day that God gives us and use it for His glory and His honor. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We will start reading with verse 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. This is about a man named Paul. In chapter 7, he says, "But what things were gain to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again today for watching over us, protecting us, guiding us. Lord, we thank you for the word. And Lord, we ask that you speak to our hearts here this morning. We all have different needs in this congregation this morning. Lord, I pray that you will meet us at the point of those needs, that we might give you praise and honor. For it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. We live in a society today where we want to live life to the very fullest degree. I don't know about you, but I like to live life. I like the things that God has blessed me with. I'm very happy in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that I really want besides just knowing Jesus Christ and letting Him fulfill those purposes in His life. We have a lot of people today that are never really satisfied with what Christ has given them, and we always want to reach out for more. No one wants to be mediocre. We want to live life to the fullest. Amen? We want to have happiness. We want to have joy in our Christian life. The televisions today, the advertisements on television. I like to watch advertisements. They're better than most shows. But I like to watch how they try to entice you, how try to motivate you to spend all your money. They're good at that. They say we can have it all, and they'll tell you we can have it all. Just do it, I believe, is one of the commercials by Nike. Coca-Cola satisfies, I believe, your thirst. There's many others. Enjoy, I don't know which car company, enjoy the ride. But nevertheless, every one of them wants to tell you that you can enjoy life as you go through it. And unfortunately, so many are caught up in the details of the day-to-day living that we fail to seize the day that we live in. We fail to see the fullness that God wants us to have. You know, we have deadlines, don't we? We have commitments, I tell you. If you don't think we have a lot of commitments and deadlines at church, you just try to get them all in a day. I know Brother Dub works hard trying to get all the budget ready, boy, I tell you, and keeping us all straight and things like that. We have deadlines of going places at your work, and our calendars are filled up. We have problems with putting things in the right priority in our life. We have distractions that come our way. We have obstacles that we have to overcome. But we all want to be fulfilled in the things that life gives us. And we fail to reach many things that are right there within our grasp. And now Paul tells us today that we are to seize the moment. The Apostle Paul believed in this philosophy of life. Seize the day, seize the moment in life. And Philippians verse 3 puts it within our grasp. He says you are to follow his example, and you can learn from Christ to seize the day. You can learn from Christ how to live life to its very fullest in a hectic society that we live in. Now, I don't know about you, but I pray this morning that you are living life to the fullest in Christ Jesus. Not in the things of the world, but in Christ Jesus. I hope this morning that as I bring this message, that you will see that you need to seize the very moment that we have right now. To do that, I believe you find that you have to find your purpose in life. You see, each of us have a purpose in life. In order for a church to go forward, I can remember when we wrote up the bylaws for this church, it seemed like such a long time ago. We had a mission statement. Amen? That mission statement was written very carefully in our church. I saw not long back a business, and they said their mission statement was there, listed on their door. A family, an individual. We all, if we want to be successful in life, we have to understand our purpose in life. So, if I were to ask you here this morning, what is your purpose in life? What kind of answer would you give me? What is your purpose in life this morning? There's a lot of different answers to that, isn't there? I asked some of these young people, what do you plan to do with your life? Well, I want to be a good husband. And that, man, I tell you, young men that starting out your family, that's something to admire. You are to be a good husband. Your wife would probably want to be a good wife. Some of you are making careers in teaching. I know you want to be a good teacher at your school, wherever you go. You want to train young men and young women in the right way. It's hard to do nowadays. I'm a young man influenced my life tremendously. I walked with him. I went places with him. He never stopped me from tagging along with him, even though I was 6 years younger. He took me every place. He did things with me. I can recall the camping trips that we took together. I can recall learning how to shoot a gun from him. I can know how to cook on an open fire, whatever game we killed. I enjoyed those moments. And he shared those things with me. He was a good person. Never heard him say an unkind word to anyone. And I believe we learn from people like that. And that's the kind of people we want to be around. And it's admirable of you to be a good husband, to be a good teacher, or be a good person to lead someone else to do what's right. So you have to understand that purpose in life. What is your reason this morning for living? Everything in creation has a primary purpose. Everything has a reason for existing, to be successful. We want to be successful. To be successful, we must fulfill that purpose that God has given us. You know, He gave me a pen a long time ago. Beautiful pen. Every time I look at it, I put it back in my drawer. I very seldom carry it with me, but it's a beautiful pen. You know, it doesn't fulfill its purpose. It doesn't write worth anything. It just looks good. You see? But I keep it. And I don't know why I keep it, but it's pretty to look at. But you know what? It's a failure as a pen. Because when you start writing with it, have you ever had a pen that writes and skips? That's what this one does. I hate it because every time you start to try to write something, it's got all these skips in it. And it's not fulfilling its purpose. I usually pick up an old cheap Bic pen because, hey, they fulfill the purpose. They don't mess up. They don't skip so much. But you know what? I thank God that, you know, when it comes to fulfilling a purpose in life, that this young man fulfilled his purpose, that he led us in the right direction, led my life in the right direction with Jesus Christ as the center of it. And just as a person has a purpose, you have a purpose in life this morning. Are you fulfilling that purpose, that God-given purpose that he has for you in life? Paul stated right here his reason for living. Look at verse 10. He says, my purpose, my primary purpose is that I may know him. What is he talking about? He said, I want to know Christ. Well, folks, that's a good purpose, isn't it? In life, that we may know him, and I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know what it means to be conformed to his very death. Paul is saying, my reason for living is simply to be like Jesus. And folks, that's a good reason for living, isn't it? To be like Jesus. That is my reason also. That should be your purpose in life, is to be like Jesus. There's a second step that Paul gives us if we are to seize the moment. Not only know your purpose for living, that's important. We're to be like Jesus. But he also says, if we're going to live life to the fullest, if we're going to achieve things in life, we got to forget the past. We've got to forget the past. Some of you watched Texas and Oklahoma the other day, didn't you? I don't know why, but you watched it. Ooh, Texas didn't show up. They were there, but they didn't show up to play, kind of like the Dallas Cowboys this evening. I don't know what you think about football, but the way it looks now, we're kind of wasting our time by watching it. But there was a young man years ago, played for Georgia Tech, and if I remember the story right, his name was Roy, and he was playing in the first half, and he was a lineman, and linemen are big, and they know what their purpose is knock people down. But anyhow, they were losing, and Georgia Tech, I believe it was Georgia Tech, and they fumbled the ball, and he picked it up and took off running. but he ran the wrong way. He scored a touchdown. First touchdown he'd ever scored, but it was for the wrong team. At the halftime, he was low. He was really low. He is sitting there and his head down, and everybody was looking kind of down on him, and his coach came by and he says, "Roy, get up. Hold your head up. You're the best lineman we've got." And he said, "I can't go back out there, coach." And he says, "Why not?" He says, "Because I can't play." And he says, "Yes, you can, Roy." He said, "You get back out on that field and you lead us to win the victory, for the game is just half over." You see? And Roy got back up there and he got playing and they won. They came back and won that game. You know, if he hadn't forgot the past, if he kept dwelling on losing, you know, they would have lost. And so many times we regard and we dwell on the past. Regardless of the past, folks, we've got to forget it. You see, we've got to forget the past, Paul said. Isaiah said in Isaiah 43:25, "I am he who blots out your transgressions for your sake, and I will remember your sins no more." Aren't you glad this morning, if you're going to be the individual God wants you to, that he forgives your past? Man, you know, don't dwell. Everybody says, "Well, preacher, I don't know if I can be used to God because I've got this in my background." Forget it. Don't let that hold you down. That's what the devil wants. Man, you take the moment right here where you are and you say, "Okay, God, I'm going to press on to the mark. My purpose is to be like you. I messed it up in the past, but from this day forward, I'm going to move forward." You've got to forget that past. Whatever you've done in the past, it's over with. If you will confess, the Bible says, if we confess our sin, praise God, he's faithful to forgive us our sin. You can't dwell on that, folks. Let it go. God will forgive you. He says, if anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have it, Paul said. But notice what he says. But whatever gains this was to me, these are rubbish. They're no good. They won't get me anywhere. He said, I want Christ. That's my gain. I'm going to forget the past, Paul said. You know what? If he had brought up the past every time and said, "Well, Lord, you know, I was back there when Stephen was there. I was cheering on the crowd to stone him." He never would have done anything. He never would. But God says, "Paul, I'm not going to bring up the past to you. This is what I want you to do in the future." And man, he went at it with a passion in his heart. And that's the way we ought to take this day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we start walking with God afresh and anew. Man, I can't dwell on the past 27 years here at the church. They have been great years here at the church. But I don't want to dwell on the past. I want to think about what's God going to do in the next 30 years. You see? We've got to move forward. And Paul says, "I will not live in the past. I want to know what it's to be like God. I want to know him and his power. I want to know him and his resurrection. I want to know him and his sufferings. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." See, we've got to figure out what is our purpose. Our purpose is to be like Jesus. Are you doing that today? Then we've got to forget the past, folks. And then another thing is we've got to face the present. I press on, he says. You know, it's easy to live in the past, isn't it? Oh, it's always easy to dream about the future. Man, I've got this plan. I've got that plan. Preacher, I'm a dreamer. You know, I know a lot of people that are dreamers. They're always thinking about, oh, way out yonder in the future, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do. The real challenge is to live right now in the present. That's a challenge, isn't it? In today that we live, because it means that we can no longer say, "One of these days, preacher, I'm going to do something about whatever it is. Why not today? One of these days, preacher, I'm going to get my life right with God. One of these days, I'm going to start living for God. One of these days, one of these days, one of these days. It never happens. You're always putting off to one of these days. I want to know what you're going to do today. You see, we've got to live in the present. My responsibility is today to God. My responsibility as a husband is to be a good husband today, you see. You know, I love my brothers, man. I went off with them this last week. We went hunting together. They fussed like Esau and Jacob, man. I told them, I said, now listen, boys. I can call them boys today, 8 years younger than I am. I said, now listen, we're not going to argue all the way to Wyoming and back. That's not going to happen. I said, you know, they're both bigger than I am. But they respect me because dynamite comes in little packages. And we hadn't gone 100 miles to one of them says something, the other one starts. I said, You get in the back and sit back there. Well, if that's what you want, I said, that's what I want. You can't say something kind, you sit in the back. You know, I love them to death. But they're always, one of them is always a dreamer. And I said, what are you going to do about it today? What are you going to be about it today? You see, we live today. We're not promised tomorrow. In chapter 11 of John, Jesus' good friend Lazarus, remember him? He died. And when Jesus arrived, Martha came to Jesus and said, if you'd have been here, Lord, my brother would have lived. If you'd have been here. And Jesus said to her, Martha, your brother will rise again. And you know what? Martha was a dreamer about the future, wasn't she? And she said, oh, Lord, I know that in the resurrection day, the last day, he's going to live. See, she was dreaming about the future. Lord, I know way down the line he's going to live. But Jesus said, no, Martha, you don't understand. I am the resurrection. You see, the resurrection day is now in me because I am the resurrection. I'm the life. And you see, she believed that he had power in the past. And he did. She believed that he would have power in the future. But what about the present? What about God right now, folks, in your life? We know that, I believe that one day he's going to raise the dead. We're all going to live again. And we're going to go to heaven. Those that are in Christ are, anyhow. I believe that. But what about his power today? You know, he's still got the same power that he always had, and it's available to us today in our life. You see, she believed in the future, she believed in the past, but her faith needed to be in the present. And her reply was to Jesus. She said, do you believe this? Do you believe that I'm the resurrection and the life? Not in the past or not in the future, but right now, Martha, do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe. Man, she moved from the past to the present. And today is the day of salvation, folks. Today, God wants to do something in your life. Today, he wants to get you out of the past. Today, he wants to move you into the present. He wants to save your life today. He wants you to have purpose today. He wants you to have fulfillment in him today. If you will, by faith, believe that, put your faith in him, he will give you purpose in life. Amen. We've got to face the present, and we've got to choose to live today in Christ Jesus, not next week, not next month, not next year, but right here and now. You've got a choice to make to seize the day, seize the moment to live for Christ. Now, I don't know what you're going through. Some of you may be saved. Some of you may be lost. Some of you may be seeking God today. I hope and pray that you are. But let me tell you what, in just a few minutes, I'm going to give an invitation, and the old devil's going to tell you, well, I can wait till next week. What are you doing? You're living for the future. Next week may not come for you. Today is the day. Well, preacher, I'm going to get my life right one of these days, and I'm going to start serving. Why not now? The old devil's going to tell you to stay where you are. The devil's going to say, don't get up and move. The devil's going to say, some of you, get up and leave early, so I don't have to deal with it. But let me tell you something. If you reject Christ by leaving, you reject Christ by putting it off, it's the same any old way. You're rejecting the moment of the Holy Spirit to come into your life and give you a purpose. Now, some of you have been saved, no doubt. But you're not fulfilling the purpose that God wants you to in life. Why not start today? And you just may need to come down to the front and say, Lord, today I want to get my life right with you. And from this day, I'm going to live for you. I'm seizing that moment of faith today. You see, I love the story. I love this story. I've read it so many times, know it by heart, and I've shared it with you before, but I love it because if you miss your chance, if you miss your moment, then you've thrown it away. The Holy Spirit may not ever give you that opportunity to come again. I tell the story of a young man. He's in the Army, and he got on this train with his captain. And the only two seats available was right across from this beautiful, young, attractive lady and her grandmother. And he was sitting there thinking and making eyes at her, not the grandmother, but the young girl. Looking at her, smiling, he was thinking, man, I would like to get to know you better. About that time, they went through a dark tunnel where it was just black. And all you could hear was the smack of a kiss and a slap of a hand. The grandmother said, you know, I can't believe he had nerve to kiss my granddaughter, but I'm glad she slapped him. The old colonel was sitting there, and he said, man, I admired a young man for kissing her, but I wish she had slapped him instead of me. The young girl was thinking, oh, I'm so glad he kissed me, but I wish Grandma hadn't slapped him like that. When they came out of the dark tunnel, he was smiling. Smiling from ear to ear. He had the opportunity to kiss the girl and slap his sergeant, and he got by with both of them. Now, folks, today you have an opportunity to seize the moment to fulfill life the way it should be in Christ Jesus. If you're outside of Christ Jesus, you're missing your purpose in life. You may look good on the outside, but on the inside, the Bible says you're dead. You're lost in your trespasses and sin. And if you die without Christ, it doesn't matter how wealthy you have been or what you've done in life, you've missed the purpose of your life. But think about it. You've got the opportunity in just a moment to say, yes, I want to trust Christ, preacher. I want my past forgiven. God says he will forgive you if you'll come to him. But you just can't stand there and do nothing. You've got a choice to make. I must live for Christ. And it takes it by faith to step out and walk down here and say, listen, I want to be forgiven. I want to trust Christ. You've got that opportunity to seize the moment. Will you do it? Some of you are already saved, but you are not living for Christ. You're just playing around. you have no security in your faith whatsoever. You're wondering, am I really saved or not? Why not get it right today and seize that moment and say, today I'm going to start living for Christ. I thank Him for my salvation, and I want to live for Jesus. I want to forget the past, and I want to live for the present with the power of God. Seize that moment in life. Can you do that? We won't give you an opportunity. The Bible says you must come to Jesus by faith. Would you do that? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the moment that we're fixing to have. The most important moment in people's lives is when they come face to face with Jesus Christ and make a decision for Him. And Lord, I pray today, if there's somebody in here that's lost, that they will come. If there's somebody in here that needs to get their life in line with you, that they might come today and just say, I'm starting over. I'm starting with Christ. Lord, if there's someone looking for a church home and this is the place, Lord, I pray today will be the day that they come and say, okay, let's start today for the glory of God. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.